Ways and Means. We recognize Karen Segrist as our clerk this morning and representing Legislative Fiscal Office, Dallas Wyan. Dallas, you have a list of the general government subcommittee responsibilities or anticipated responsibilities pending the resolution of what we're going to be doing once we get rules. So maybe you could lead us into that, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I understand the rules that you have adopted temporarily today allow the co-chairs to assign bills, but you will not be able to go into work session on them. Here, in anticipation of that, we prepared a list of the bills, the budget bills that you could reasonably expect to be assigned to this subcommittee, and the number of days that we have set aside are scheduled for both public hearing and work session. They sum up to 47 days, counting today would be 48, and that's the 12 weeks that is the guidance given by the co-chairs of Ways and Means to have all of it completed in 12 weeks. This is given 4 days a week of meetings. Now, of course, it'll be only public hearings for a while, so those where it's just one day for both work session and public hearing, we'll have to catch up later on with the work sessions when we're able to go into work session and pass out the budgets. There will be, in addition to the budgets, I've put an asterisk, is that the public employees retirement system by law is required to report to the Ways and Means or to the Emergency Board, depending if it's in session or not, prior to crediting of earnings. So the board, the Public Employees Retirement Board, will be coming forward with just a report on the crediting of earnings, and we estimate that will be sometime in February.
Earnings would be nice.
Will they have some?
At the last board meeting, no. They will be crediting. The earnings that are expected to be credited will be to Tier 1 members guarantee of the 8%, or the assumed rate, which is now 8%. And then the estimated creditings of the losses.
How do you credit losses?
Oh, it just shows up as a negative in your account balance. It goes against your contributions, reducing the value of them and prior earnings.
Let me just ask the members of the subcommittee, seeing the list, I know that the state fairs has asked an opportunity to come, recognizing Senator Winter's previous involvement with those folks and Representative Johnson's previous good exposure and a bill that Representative Johnson was responsible to pass last session to help in that direction. I guess we could ask the co-chairs if we could peel that off of Senator George's committee, I believe is where that's at. Any feel, Representative or Senator Devlin?
Preference the other committee members is fine with me.
Okay. There's also been a couple of others that have discussed the possibility of peeling their budgets off of other locations. Representative Patridge came up with the idea that maybe we should start these committee hearings at 6:30 in the morning. I certainly have no objection, but I think the co-chairs are yawning over that idea right now.
Well, you're going to make early birds out of them.
Well, Senator, one of the things...
I find it early in the morning. That's when my brain functions.
Okay. One of the things that could do is that could give us a Friday meeting date, which, over a period of 12 weeks gives you 12 extra days, too. So the other thing that I'm interested in is the concern that I've got that I've cleared this with at least the House side co-chair and mentioned it to the Senate side co-chair, is that there's a lot of things that end up in the bone pile. And I would like to have an opportunity to work those issues in the bone pile, number one, giving preference to our committee members. That if you have items that not necessarily your own items, certainly those would have high preference, I would hope, but other issues that have fallen into the bone pile that you would like to pull out on behalf of yourself and or your caucus and or other folks, I would like to have an opportunity. And again, I've mentioned that to both chairs, co-chairs, and have received a tentative nod depending upon all of the other issues that are still pending. I appreciate it in my freshman year in this session or in this building, having the opportunity of working bills that were in the bone pile after we had finished our regular labors, and being able to let members select from the bone pile. So, Senator Devlin, do you have a question?
No, just listening.
I think that Representative Johnson's recognized. I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I was going to go back to one other subject and talk about the 6 o'clock meeting. While I personally have no problem with 6 o'clock meetings, I want to be very cognizant of the fact that we have meetings that are friendly to the public.
You bet.
And I just want to raise 6 o'clock might be perceived as...
The idea, I think, was to run it from 6:30 to 9 o'clock, which would give you... And recognize, too, please, that there are folks that live and work in Salem that would like to be able to participate and cannot because of the fact that we're not meeting until 8:30. And this would give them an opportunity to come and express some of their concerns during the workday that otherwise they would maybe not have the opportunity to make those expressions.
Well, with that reservation, I'm at the pleasure of the chair.
Mr. Chair, come first on the other side. There are people who would like to come in after this. You know, they get off from work in the evenings, and I think, you know, the schedules... hearings to accommodate the public is a good thing. I know, particularly when we're dealing with issues that are related to small businesses, and a number of them are on here, they can't always get here at our time of the day.
Well, and if there are issues that any member of the committee sees coming up where small businesses or other folks who could otherwise be here, I would like to be able to ask for your indulgence as committee members that we go ahead and fashion our personal schedules around those of the public that may want to come and testify and participate in these meetings, because I think that's very important. Senator Devlin?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, would this proposal be probably limited to the addition of a Friday meeting at that time, or would it be...
We had pretty much thrown it open to the co-chairs we could accommodate hearing the budgets, being able to get budgets moved through in an expeditious fashion, but being sensitive to the issues of public needs, but also trying to work towards a time when our schedule would be free, whereas others of the subcommittees may not be as open as we could be. So that we would be able to hear additional bills that are of import to members of our respective caucuses and other members of the subcommittees and the full committee.
Thank you.
Can we visit regarding general government and general for just a moment, if I may? I think one of the things that we've got as we continue through the hearings process will be an opportunity for everybody to ask questions, and I'd like to as much as possible allow everyone to be able to have their opportunity to work on any kinds of the savings, and we'll talk about those in a few minutes, or at least in the next day or two, the savings that we might be able to extract from some of the general most of these are general fund budgets, and so We're looking for savings, and we're looking for the opportunity to find savings in the general fund, which could benefit. Now, some will be strictly, purely other funds driven, boards of accountancy and boards of tax practitioners. But wherever possible, we'd like to see. I'd like each member to have every opportunity to grill any of the budgets that come across to see where we might be able to save positions and or general funds of any kind. Any questions about that? We'll come up with a number. I know that Representative Johnson has been participating with Senator Winters, participating in a sub-chairs meeting, and we're looking for the level of efficiencies. And when we come to that further discussion at a later time, we'll bless you.
Sorry.
Okay. We'll spend the time necessary to... see what we can do to find some additional efficiencies above and beyond what the governor's balanced budget provides for. And we will have the acronym PIG back. agencies who decide that they want to use acronyms It will cost them. We'll give them the first, what do you figure, Dallas, maybe one or two free, if they'll tell us what they stand for, DAS and ODOT, OLCC. I think we'll give one or two free, Representative Johnson.
I just don't want you to be too lax, Mr. Chair. It would be a step down from an aggressive pace less.
If I may, Mr. Chair, this is your third session, and they are well-versed in your rules.
Maybe not even give them any of them free.
Yeah, I'd hate to see any diminution of your...
Senator Winters.
Representative Winters, I'm keying off yours because of my committee. I've even got a stamp that says return to sender. Acronyms not allowed. So if you're finding, I think maybe I'll follow suit with you.
Well, Senator Winters, I think with the generous help of Representative Johnson and others last session, we were able to donate last session something in excess of, it was nearly $1,000, I think, to the American Cancer Society. I think my first session we were able to accumulate $300 or $400 to the American Cancer Society. It's a worthy cause. Originally, it was based upon term limits that we wouldn't be around enough, long enough to understand what all the acronyms were. There was no reason. Plus, the record then would be replete with acronyms, which in the future people may not be able to understand what they all were. So,
I think also when you look at the alphabet soup, I was sitting the other day, and it was the office of... it was OEA, and it was economic analysis or something.
Oh, yeah.
And so you confuse it with the education
association.
So I really do think that that's really a good objective.
Yeah.
So if you don't mind, I will emulate what you're doing in your
Okay. Plan. Thank you, Senator Winters. That would be a very kind thing for you to do. And I do have the acronym PIG already lined up, but I didn't know whether rules would allow me to bring the PIG down. And we'll assign the PIG to be taken care of by Karen. She'll make sure that he's locked up at the end of the day and corralled and locked up.
Oh, yeah, well, since, you know, pigs equate into ribs, and I'm not quite sure that if I can go there, maybe we'll use some other.
Well, we'll be happy to use any other kind of a bank we've got.
As long as it's not an elephant.
I think we do have an elephant somewhere, so... We'll continue on with that custom that we've set up and have some good fun in that process and be able to gather some funds for the American Cancer Society and again with the help of the committee members we'll need to make sure that anybody that comes forward with the necessary pile of quarters to buy the acronyms that they're going to use as they come forward. We'll keep tab of how much they owe us and then some. Dallas, we'll turn the time back to you then relative to the scheduling of 48 days, including today.
Yep. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this is, if the bills are assigned, this is the sequence with that which we would hope to hear these bills. We've had, as you might imagine, with three subcommittees going every morning, and budget management staff as well as legislative fiscal staff, we've had to coordinate so that so that one person isn't in two committee rooms the same day at the same time. So it's a pretty tight schedule, and because of staff conflicts, any slippage could cause problems. So if we could stick to the schedule, it
wouldn't have to work as hard if we were here at 6 or 6:30, would you?
That's true. We also have the co-chair's budget review process. These are guidelines, things to be discussed. It's a very compressed schedule, Elizabeth. This one's a little more ambitious than in the past. I think we've completed budget hearings in the order of 14 or 16 weeks, and they're looking at 12. But there are a number of things that they co-chairs suggest being reviewed, vacancies, performance measures. Agencies this time are required. There's been an interim review process where agencies have been required to develop performance measures and outcomes and the like, those have been screened and tossed back to agencies and reviewed with them by a group that consisted of representative, I think, from the Progress Board, representatives from the legislative side, our own legislative fiscal office, as well as the Department of Administrative Services. So you should see, you will see coming forward each agency with what it has submitted as performance measures that have been reviewed and by and large adopted and approved by a group that says, yes, they do make sense, they tie into an agency's mission, but that does not mean they're set in concrete. One of the things I believe the co-chairs wanted out of this is, as part of the budget report, an action to adoption or at least confirmation by subcommittees that they've reviewed the performance measures and expect that the agency will be held to them in upcoming budget times.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Johnson.
Will the performance measures, Dallas, for each one of the agencies be presented to us so that we can actually take a look at them? And the reason that I say this is twofold. First of all, sometimes in the agency presentations, the actual performance measures got kind of obfuscated with all of the other information about the agency. And secondly, I worked for an agency that will remain unnamed in the time ago. And it was my observation that the creation and the working with performance measures so overwhelmed everything else that you got so busy saying what you were counting that you stopped counting. And I hope that these are simple enough that they can reflect accurately a measure of whether or not agencies are serving the public, doing it efficiently and effectively, and that we're not just overwhelmed with a lot of kind of agency speak about how great they are.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I believe that these are distilled and understandable. That was the purpose of the interim project of the reviews and the like. So, and I believe agencies are, part of their instructions are to bring those forward and explain to the committee.
In tracking 19 or 25 performance measures is just nuts.
Yeah. We won't have that many. And they will be part of our budget. They'll be part of the budget write-up. And I've looked at some of them. Certainly DAS will have more than other committees or other functions.
25 cents?
Yep. Yeah, that's worth the two bits.
I'd say that's a starter.
But the other agencies will come forward, and they will have very succinct their mission statement together with the progress board actual goal and then the measurement how it ties in and then how it's measured. I think that they will give us all of those with each budget is my understanding in visiting with Jeff Dryans.
I guess the other piece of it has got to be that there are some consequences for failure, because what comes quickly to my mind is the question of OECDD. And I think we were together last session when we looked at that agency. The Secretary of State did an audit and said, you're not able to count the jobs created. There was an explanation from the agency as to why that was, and it was my impression, just an impression, that everybody sort of walked away and went, okay, there's a big disconnect there, and it seems that that's the most glaring example of investment that ought to produce something that is countable. Mm-hmm. And I would love to be proven wrong, but...
And Representative Johnson, because of the succinct time schedule and the nature of which our committees are going to be meeting, I think that they're going to have to be very cognizant of those shortcomings in a heck of a hurry. And I don't want anybody marching out of here thinking that they've slipped one over on us, pulled the wool over us. I really don't. Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In terms of the legislative fiscal analysis of the budgets, I know we're just starting right now, but how much prior to our actual consideration should we have that?
Dallas?
We are working those. I'm trying to get them to the members at least a day or more than in advance of the hearings. The further we go into the session, I think you'll have a lot more advance more time to read them in advance. We are just editing over this weekend, this past weekend. So you should be getting them before the meeting, and hopefully.
Perhaps that's something we could do at the end of the day, previous to the day that we're going to commence another hearing, would be to have a handout with an overview so that we would be prepared. And that's a great idea, I think, for Senator Devlin, that we'd be given as much notice as we possibly can, but at least a day's worth of notice by the Legislative Fiscal Office.
Yep. Well, I would think, Mr. Chairman, I would think for... I'll use it for the Department of Administrative Services. I would hope that although our consideration of their budget would be continuous, that we would hold on to it for a while. Obviously, they hold on to budgets for quite a while sometimes, because it's probably one of the most complex budgets that we'd have to deal with.
But we want to be sensitive to the fact that we've got to get a charge rate out to everyone else in the state government as well. So I think we will hold on to it for at least the period of time in which it's assigned to us. But I would hope that we'd be able to formulate some of our ideas early on so that we'll be able to get a charge rate developed.
Thank you.
And we will have the write-up for that department. I can get it to you this afternoon. I have one meeting with the department this afternoon to iron out an issue. And I can get those to your offices this afternoon. It's tentatively scheduled to begin these hearings on Wednesday. That is a large agency, very, very complex. It has a number of operating units, and it impacts all other state agencies. So being able to at least arrive at decisions about its assessments is critical. That's why we have it early on. So the other agencies' budgets, if we need to make the adjustments, we can do them during the hearings and not after the fact. So an omnibus cleanup is that.
Okay. Further items on the list there. I noticed the list has been amplified from the list that you had the other day to talk about future forecasting adjustments for the March and May forecasts and then the post-signed eye forecasts. And I guess in that regard, the budget target strategy talks about, as opposed to the 16% growth that the governor has projected, I think that the budgets that we'll be working with will try and anticipate an assumed growth rate of 10%. Senator or Representative Johnson.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that I understand these numbers because you've just used 16. I recall from the presentation it 13, was 18.
Yeah, 15,
then it jumped around to 13.
13.6.
Dallas, could you do you know what I'm talking about at all?
A little bit, but I'm not the expert.
That's fine. I can go hunt up the answer, but I just want to make sure that we're all dealing with a common set of numbers.
If I recall, Representative Johnson, that the 18 included, if I remember, the freezes, and that was 4%.
I think it was 18, and then with the freezes, it brought it down to 14.
Down to 14.
So that's the difference. Yeah,
okay.
The balanced budget, this is from the information provided by BAM. Balanced budget for 0305, December 2002 forecast still assumes a recovery of 18% during 2003-2005. Under a worst-case scenario, the projected resource could be $700 million lower than that. And so the Office of Economic Analysis said the official projection was 18%. However, the projected growth rate that they were using, exclusive of the kicker, was 13.6%. And our co-chairs have asked us to limit that to 10% with an additional 3% for ending forecast. And 3% on a $10 or $11 billion budget will amount to a minimum of $300 million. So we've got to take the budgets which will be given to us, extrapolate, and it's further my understanding that the budgets did not, in all instances, matter of fact, none of the budgets that we'll be working with have received the reduction for the for the increases, the wage increases. So
or we'll inflation.
Have, yeah,
or
the inflation. The inflation increases, which is several percentages. It's 2.63%, three and a fraction. So depending upon the budgets that you're looking at, there were only just a fraction, a handful of the budgets that had any of the inflation factors in the wage increases, the wages and increases.
I think most of the smaller ones did not.
Did not. Yeah. Senator Dewa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just clarification. Then the governor, when he prepared the budget or when his staff prepared the budget, used the 13.6%, which is what they were looking at in terms of revenue increase. Is that correct? So we're...
And I'm not certain. We'll just need to probably get a budget out and see what the budget includes, whether it's the... again, there was some indication that there was a full 18% included, according to the Office of Economic Analysis. The question we had for Linda Gilbert at that point when this was presented was, is that 18% everywhere? I don't think it is is within all budgets, but that under the worst-case scenario, she said, or Theresa McHugh said, it's probably $700 million strong and expenditures by the current governor's balanced budget.
Mr. Chairman, the only reason I'm making that comment is, I mean, I still think it's important that we get it clarified overall in the budgets, because if the governor used 18% and if we are cutting down to 10, we're talking actually then about $800 plus million mm-hmm. in terms of an, well, it might be possible theoretically to doable to come in at the 3 or 4% below. I'm not so sure it's as easy. I know it isn't as easy to come at 8% below what the governor has proposed.
Well, and we'll need to look at that budget by budget to see what has been included. But if you're right, if we're going to be trimming 8% off of every budget, and then if we're supposed to come up with a 3% ending forecast on top of that, then that's really an 11% cut.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Senator Winters,
there were two factors. The one was the kicker and those elements and whether or not they had been taken off. And the other one, in some of the budgets, whether or not they had allowed and already carved out the freezes and the salary adjustments. Not all budgets, as I understand, did that happen.
Right.
My understanding is, Mr. Chair, that the wage freeze weren't taken out of any of them. I know that the inflation was taken out of what was called the Big Eight budgets, but we are in the process of working with the people at Budget Management to try to develop a uniform methodology for costing out those savings from the freeze. But it's going to take this from July 1 of 03 to 05. And that was another reason for holding up on work sessions, even if we had, if there were rules adopted, because we wanted to get a uniform process for costing out those savings or that, the budget reductions that come from those.
I think we need to get some land legs on this pretty quickly, but you're right, Senator Devlin. Seeking those kinds of levels of efficiencies could be like pulling teeth out of a hippo, so we're going to have to be very careful how we go about this. Dallas?
I was just going to mention a couple of housekeeping items. The microphones are very sensitive. They've improved the electronics so that things that you may, side conversations that the public may not be able to hear, often show up on the tapes. So if to be aware of that, so if you do have want to carry on a side conversation you don't want on the record, not just the public being in the room hearing, but on the official record, you might want to turn around or move further over, face away from the microphones. They are very sensitive. I know maybe not for Representative Butler, but coffee. The Assembly is willing to pay for coffee for subcommittees that have requested it, $7 a carafe, and delivered to the room. So if this committee would like coffee delivered, it will be paid for out of the Assembly's budget. I need to get an answer on that so we can start sketching.
What's your pleasure, members? It looks like we already had a couple of folks down at coffee today or cafe today. So,
Mr. Chair, I would be happy to move that we pass on the coffee.
Pass on the coffee? Okay. Well, you're not going to have any objection from me, so we've got a water bottle back here.
That serves me.
Unless we move to an unearthly time of the morning, we'll thank you very much.
Now, that, at 6 o'clock, that may be subject to revisiting.
I'm not sure cafe today is open at 6.
No, they're not. They open at 7. Okay.
Might have to add hot cross buns to that, Mr. Chair.
Other issues? Representative Johnson, anything further? Let's agree to just work through these as best we can. I think we've all had a collegial relationship in the past, and we can move forward with that. We'll look forward to receiving rules from full so that we can go ahead and start to work along those lines. And Representative Patridge will be out of town through until Wednesday, so his committee will take a few days off, I guess. So with that, Dallas?
Yeah, we are posting the schedule down to, being so bold as to say that the chairs have assigned the bills, but you'll be hearing the Capital Planning Commission tomorrow, and it'll be public hearing. Following that will be the Department of Administrative Services. Again, I'll get you that right up this afternoon. And I will have a schedule for you. You'll see a lot of me. I have the Department of Administrative Services and PERS, but we'll try to lay out a schedule for you for the Department of Administrative Services. It is such a large budget. So day by day, which divisions or offices will be presenting. So
could we have that tomorrow, then a pretty good idea what that is.
Yes, they're finalizing that. I'll finalize that again this afternoon, so you'll have that in advance. And other than that, I have nothing. I'm available. You have my I'm at 618.
What's your
That's unlisted, but you can get it from Ken.
with that, members, takes a heck of a good meeting to be no meeting at all, and we've had a good meeting. So we'll proceed forward, and we'll see each of you tomorrow morning at 8:30 bright and early.
Maybe a little after 8:30 because of the 24-hour notice
requirement.
Stay tuned.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.